The Lord be with you.
A
reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the days were completed for the purification, according to the law of Moses, the parents of Jesus took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it is written in the law of the Lord: every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in sight of all the peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and glory for your people, Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted, and you yourself, a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord. I am sure that everyone here believes that the family is very important. Still, we all run the risk of taking it for granted. Today, the Church presents to us this great feast of the Holy Family to focus on the fact that the family is always an unfinished work, because it is the continuation of creation. And as such, it is the work of God in which we cooperate. Creation is the manifestation of the love of God that is now, through the creation of men and women, our mission to cooperate with this love of God, to diffuse this love of God. And it is in the family that children are born, and this creation continues, and love continues to grow. And so the family is indeed a natural reality. And grace builds upon nature. And we can only understand fully what family is by the grace of God. Because the family is not the invention of men, nor is it to be tinkered with by government or any other institution, because the family is the work of God. It is the plan of God for all of us. Today we speak a lot about human rights, and that is very good. But who remembers divine rights, the rights of God, who from all eternity is family, three persons, one God, and who created us also to be family. And when He came to save us, He came into a family, became Himself a child in a family born of His mother, and accepted Joseph as His father, to give us all an example. And we can say that a man, a woman, by the way, any politician, is really great only to the extent that he or she values the family and submits his life and his work in light of the good of the family. The great danger, and I say it again, is that family is kind of take it for granted, thinking that now we have to go to more important things. And I will say to you that there's nothing more important than the family. And it is only in as much as we understand what it is to be family that then we can have a vision to do everything else from that basis. Because the family is the school of love and life that makes possible a civilization of love and life. The family doesn't just happen. It requires the work of each one of us with all our hearts. It requires love to the extent that we're willing to pay the price and lay down our lives for others. I tell those who are coming to get married, please come to realize that what is between you is not just something of an attraction, that you love each other in the natural sense, but that from that which is a good seed, the Lord has blessed you and called you to a vocation that will now call forth all that is in you, to be offered up in love, to build this wonderful gift of God. And so both of you must grow and mature into this deep awareness of the sacredness of this union as the Lord has blessed it. And this will really call forth from you all that is good, and also the challenge of putting to death all that is not good. You know, in the day of the wedding, often the couple chooses that beautiful passage from Corinthians: love is kind, love supports all things, forgives all things. Well, it's beautiful to say, but you know, in practice, is that we really come to understand the challenge. So as today we ponder upon this gift of the family, let us look at the Holy Family and ask for this grace. We are still unfinished. No matter how good your family is, the Lord wants to give you more. That's the good news. And He will give you much more only to the extent that you let Him, that you are humble to accept the gift, that you are humble to understand that you too need to change and to grow in love. It's an adventure that will continue until our last breath. Let us be family. Let us allow the Lord to bring it into a greater being through His grace. Amen.